It is Locked On Jazz for the 20th of March. A Friday show that wasn't planned, but felt like it could be fun and needed. Points gained Friday. We'll jump in on that. Plus, we'll talk about what we've learned in this week. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA Insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it a lot better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. I actually was not planning on doing a show today. I just thought, I felt was very inspired by yesterday's live show, so thank you all very much. There was a great energy. This sounds so weird, but I think anyone who was on that show live would agree. There felt like there was a really good energy to it. There felt like there was some connectivity going on. You guys were sending me juice, so I'll take it. You know, it's just a wild week with the earthquake and obviously everything that's going on. I do want to, we have great advertisers who are still spending money with us, which we are so thankful for. And I want to highlight them, obviously. I also, you know what, we're all part of a community and we have our favorites. I tweeted out my coffee shops that I love the most. That's on my Twitter and my Facebook at DLock09. If you're looking to order coffee, Spella's Espresso is amazing. I had a Clatch Ethiopian this morning. Like, just if you're a coffee drinker, that's out there. Other personal favorites of mine, Sean at the Park Cafe has always been kind of a part of our lives. That's where we do our broadcaster breakfast. It's where Mike Breen and I go to breakfast. They're doing a breakfast burrito and sandwich giveaway. Donations are accepted. Gift cards are available. All go to their Park Cafe staff. And they are also doing if you know the Park Cafe, they're going to be testing a drive-through. So they did that this morning and Saturday. Swing by, stay in your car. They'll bring you their food 9 until we're out. So you can check that out, 801-487-1670, I guess would be the way to reach them. Another one of my kind of favorite restaurants in town that's a fabulous kind of high-end spot is Table X. They have this incredible bread. I know that sounds weird, but like, no, truly, they have this incredible bread, and they are they had a tweet out last night that they're doing Table X bread for sale Saturday from 8 till 2. And that's at 14th East and 33rd, 300 South, or right around there. So I'm actually going to probably use that as an excuse to at least get out of the house for a minute, or at least somebody else. All right, let's get to where we are, what's going on. I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Ben Golliver on Locked On NBA. You know, there's been a lot of fun things on the other, you know, making the best out of things. I watched the Heat-Spurs game last night. Incredible. Like, Greg Popovich is the greatest. This is how hard coaching is. Greg Popovich is the greatest coach of all time. And he leaves Tim Duncan on the bench and they don't get an offensive rebound. And then down one with 10 seconds left, they get the rebound. Don't call timeout. Rush it up. Ray Allen strips Manu Ginobili. Maybe a foul, maybe not. But he doesn't have Tony Parker on the floor because he took him off for defense and doesn't use his timeout to put him back out on the floor. I mean, crazy. Like, I don't know. It feels like two really big blunders by arguably the greatest coach of all time. Just when you rewatch these games and you see them, it's like, whoa. Chris Bosh's defense was amazing. You forget. I mean, that's the fun thing. I said we're going to do this. We're going to do viewing parties, like movie night parties on the Lockdown Podcast Network, where we watch the game with you, stream it, and then in our feed, and then we're sitting there commenting. So we're going to build that for you this weekend and have that next week. Also, the NBA TV had the Stockton shot on last night. Boy, was he great. Boy, was he great. I mean, like, super great. With what he was late in that game. Carl kind of missed those two shots at the 3 and 4 minute mark. He had been 1 for 3 the day before in the clutch. That series wasn't close, if you remember. Games 1, 2, and 3 were not particularly close. Then game 4, Mailman goes a little absent. He hits a bucket and has a turnover in the final 5 minutes. Game 5, Carl's not great late. He goes 1 for 3 with a turnover. And it's not like, I mean, they had Olajuwon and you know, it's not like Carl's was not, you think about how the games changed. Like, it was hard to get Carl the ball in those circumstances and to get him a good look because defenses could double team and there wasn't as many 3-point shooting. And I mean, what Carl could do if he had space like he has now would be incredible. And so John just took over that game late, you know, They were having a hard time. I guess the better way to phrase it, they were having a hard time getting Carl going. He had, you know, he really kind of been had become kind of 15, 16 foot straight up jump shots was what they could get him, because otherwise there just wasn't enough space on the floor and the defenses were sagging in on him. And so then you had this, you know, amazing run by John late, and that shot is just incredible. So that was cool. Latest on coronavirus around the league. We will do points gained today, by the way. So the latest on all the coronavirus is, I mean, it gets really kind of crazy here. So we just, you know, here's the thing. We just don't know. And anyone who thinks they know or have acted like they knew or tweeted like they knew is going to regret it. Because we don't know. And that's kind of the truth of all of it is now we got Marcus Smart. I thought I read that there was two Celtics and they just haven't, and two Lakers. And we just don't know, right? Marcus Smart was tested on, I think, the 13th, if I got the math right. Rudy's tested on the 11th. We play the Celtics on the 6th. We also played this, you know, like, who knows? You just, none of us know. I mean, there's like this story about that was out there about Rudy getting an autograph from this kid, and then this kid got it. Like, that was the way they framed it. How do we know that kid didn't get an autograph? Like, we just, to Rudy and Marcus Smart, we just don't know. So I, and you know, I get like, it's been traumatic. It's been trying. We got a bunch of young guys going through something where they're pretty indestructible at every point in their life. And now all of a sudden they have this thing and they kind of lose control of their lives. And that rocks them. We've got, you know, families who feel threatened. It's like, I got it. Like, it's real. Like, and I understand the anxiety and I'm all toward it. But I think a lot of the reactions we had in the opening days of this have to be kind of retracted from the record. Like, I just don't think people understood or even maybe today understand what's going on. I don't know. I mean, I read everything. I think you guys know that about me, and I'm trying to research it. And there's some people that still kind of believe that, you know, that how it's transmitted has not always been clearly defined. And frankly, there's, you know, I got sent from a good friend the other day an article that says that, you know, trying to show numerically why this is just a tremendous overreaction. And then another article that shows it's not. Like, I just don't think we know. And you know what? Proceeding without knowledge is a dangerous game. And that's what's tricky here. You know, is when you proceed without knowledge, you're playing a dangerous game. And I think we had a lot of that kind of reaction early. And I, on all accounts, I mean, I'm really not just zeroing in on NBA players, but like, you know, I think all the people that are, you know, become vigilant, you know, social distancing from the experts seems like a real good idea. I'm going to trust a lot of those experts. They seem really, really smart. And then, you know, and then you have these people who have become like, they're trumpeting it as though it's like their cause of life. Like, okay, it seems right. Like, on the other end, like, we're causing entire economic collapse. So I don't know. Like, I just don't think we know. And that's what is happening. I mean, we're in a historic time where there's a pandemic that's sweeping across the world that's changing how we live and what's going on. Like, that I do know. But from there, I don't. So anyway, you know, I think that's what we learned in this week is we just don't know. Like, I know that's hard, but I think that's what's so difficult. And it takes me back actually to Wednesday night in Oklahoma City where people have asked me my reaction. I never had fear. I just realized I was no longer in control of my life for a period of time. And I think that's happened to all of us. And that's, you know, we see these silly videos of you know, these young kids. I'm sure that, you know, the TV's interviewing 50 people and clipping together the six. That's how the media works. It's right to do it. It's entertaining. And we're talking about it. And, you know, they've never lost control of their life, right? Oh, I've been waiting for three weeks to go to Miami. Okay, great. Like, you know, but they don't get it. And because that's at 20 some odd years old, you've never had that. So, I mean, maybe there's a positive that comes out of this. And the positive, I go back to I thought, you know, at the time it was interesting. It felt a little ruthless when We were in the economic crash of 2008, and I was interviewing Larry H. Miller. Larry H. Miller said, we have a generation of kids who don't respect their job. They've been able to get every job they could ever get, and they don't respect their jobs. They just know they can always get another one. And you know what? Maybe, and his viewpoint of that was that the good thing that will come out of this is that everyone will respect their job more. Maybe the flip side of that is that we didn't maybe understand what an incredible life we all had. Hopefully yours was good, but even the daily struggles were hopefully less than, you know, what we're experiencing now, and that we'll come back and cherish everything we have on the way back out. I don't know. That would be the positive thing. All right. Just a thought. Murdoch Hyundai is doing a lot of things to try to help you out. Obviously automotive is essential, and you need to be able to, you know, get around. And if you are in the need for a car, this is a great time. And Hyundai has built their assurances, and Murdoch has built Murdoch Sure. Here's what Murdoch Sure is. 0% on all models, 0% interest on all models, no payments for 90 days. If you lose your job, Hyundai will pay up to 6 payments for you with Hyundai Assurance. Okay, so there's your protections. Well, what about sanity, keeping everything clean? They're doing that, but let's say you don't want to come to the dealership. Then go online, shop for your vehicle, and you can arrange for your test drive, and you can actually buy the vehicle with your test drive pending, or you can do it the other order, just test drive and then buy the vehicle. They'll bring the test drive to you. You can do all the financing online. You can do all the shopping online. You can do it all in a manner that makes you feel comfortable. That's it. Murdoch Hyundai, online at murdochhyundai.com. Also located at 4646 South State Street. Also located in Linden and in Logan. Same thing. If you're going to stop by, if you're going to do something online, please let us know at dlock09@gmail.com. That's dlock09@gmail.com. Time for a little points gained, doing this probably out of normalcy more than anything else. Points gained is an offensive metric that judges how impactful offensive players are. The concept behind points gained is using the average, the amount of scoring opportunities you get in a given night and what you do with those and how many points you score compared to the average player in the NBA. So, for example, let's take just a random player. Seth Curry of Dallas uses 10 scoring opportunities a night, and in those 10 scoring opportunities, he averages 1.7 points more than what average players would do with that 10. That's really good. That Seth Curry has huge value. It's why Dallas was probably a little better than anyone realizes. Usually, over the years past, and we can do coming up here at old points gained or something like that, you know, if you look past and back in years past on points gained, there's about 3 players that are over 3 and then about 7 players that are over 2 for a total of 10 players. So last year, Antetokounmpo was best at 3.6, Steph was 3.5, and Harden was 3.3. In the 17-18 season, Steph was the best at 4.7, Durant was a 3.5, Harden was a 3.1, and Karl Anthony Towns was a 3.0, so we had 4. And then we had 7 guys. We had LeBron, Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving, Rudy Gobert, Clint Capella, and Giannis, all that were over 2. Go back to this, and when I say over 2, that's 2 points above average per game. So, Kevin, go back to the 17-18, 16-17, Durant was a 3.8. That's where Isaiah Thomas had that amazing year in Boston, was a 3.4. Then Harden was 2.9 points above what average player, so where Steph was as well. LeBron, Rudy, Karl Anthony Towns, Kyle Lowry, Kawhi Leonard, DeAndre Jordan, Nikola Jokic, Danilo Gallinari, Bradley Beal were all over 2. Go back just because we can. 15-16 season is Steph's amazing year. He was a 5.8. Durant was a 4.1, and then Harden was 2.8, Kawhi 2.6, J.J. Redick, Klay Thompson, LeBron James, Hassan Whiteside. So interesting. All right, so this year's interesting because we don't have anybody that had this kind of astronomical offensive season. I mean, I think really the story of this year is that is the way defense has changed. I'll do some more on it. I alluded to it kind of in the final day before everything happened about how you just didn't have teams that both defended the rim and the three anymore. That teams have just decided to take away the rim, and most of them are giving up the three. So this year, it looks, I'm kind of surprised, actually. I just ran the numbers and honestly was surprised at what I saw. The best player in the league this year, single individual dominant player, the best we have is a 3.2. That's surprising to me. Because if you go back to kind of all the numbers that I just gave you a moment ago, that's considerably lower than what we have had before. You know, we've had these Steph Curry 5.7s or these other kind of years that this, so the single dominant offensive player this season, either for conclusion or as it stands, seems to have been less dominant than they were. There's two players that were over three. Karl-Anthony Towns will finish the year 35 games played as the best at 3.2. John Collins will be next at 3.1. And then Rudy Gobert is third at 2.9. So if you contrast that, Adetokounmpo was 3.6 the year before. Steph 4.7. Durant 3.8. Steph 5.8. The 14-15 season, Durant's 4.0. The 13-14 season, Durant's 4.7 and LeBron's 4.5. So the individual dominant player had less impact on the season. In fact, Rudy Gobert, of players that played more than 42 games, John Collins played 41, will come out tied with James Harden as the single most impactful positive offensive player in the game, with 11 scoring opportunities a night at 70% shooting. Like, for all of the talk of like not getting Rudy the ball and all of those kind of things, like, they just, it was really a bad, and Rudy certainly acted at times like that bothered him. It's just a bad narrative. It's because frankly, the league had taken that shot away. And then the fact that there's two shots the league are trying to take away, the shot at the rim and the three. And so suddenly, if you have the ability of Rudy Gobert to get dunks and get shots at the rim, or you are a Duncan Robinson, Davis Bertans type, J.J. Redick even, who can get off a bunch of threes, you become even more valuable than you've ever been before, because those are the players that are taking those things away. Similar to years past, we have about 11 or 12 players that are two or better. So let's run through them, and you'll see there's some interesting phenomena that are going on in this league. The dunker and the pure three-point shooter have become incredibly valuable to offenses. So Cat, Karl-Anthony Towns, 35 games played is all, 3.2 is his best. John Collins, 41 games played. The ability of both those guys are shooting over 40% from three and taking threes. Cat took 277, Collins took 147, and they could get to the rim. So those are incredibly awesome offensive players. Collins finished averaging 22 points and 10 rebounds. Rudy Gobert was three at 2.9, James Harden at 2.9. Dame Lillard was the fifth best at 2.6. Zion in just 19 games, I miss Zion, 2.3. Then Duncan Robinson, the purple cow, taking 78% of his, using 78% of his possessions as three-point shots. He took 543 of his 613 shots as threes. He's a 2.2. Rashawn Holmes in Sacramento, only 39 games, but a 2.2. Again, he's a dunker like Rudy. There are very few players who can do it. The league is trying to take it away, and they can actually do that. The fact that they can do it makes them even more valuable. Devin Booker, 2.2. Anthony Davis, 2.2. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 2.2. Mitchell Robinson, dunker, 2.2. Brandon Clark, kind of a little bit of everything in Memphis, 2.0. And Hassan Whiteside, 2.0. Offensive players that are not dunkers and not three-point shooters. Karl-Anthony Towns, maybe John Collins, James Harden, Dame Lillard, Zion Williamson, Devin Booker, Anthony Davis, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Makes total sense. Those are the eight best all-around offensive players in the league. But what the league, I don't think, has quite understood yet is those players that have the unique ability to both shoot a three and or dunk, or really, you know, one or the other. They're two different skill sets. Those are unique players, and if you have one of those, their value is much bigger than anyone realizes. So that's pretty interesting to me. And that to me is a little bit of the story of the year as you go roster building forward, is that these dunkers and three-point shooters are more valuable than they've ever been before. Postmates is here for you, a sponsor of Locked On, and they've got some great deals for you. Use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA. They've got $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase. Yeah, that's a home phone. I have no idea why it's ringing. We actually still have one. Don't have any idea why we have that either. That's LOCKEDONNBA for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmate app. From an early morning breakfast burrito to 12-pack of beer while you're watching the game, something you need delivered fast, whether it's lunch, whether it's dinner, whatever it might be, burgers, sushi, whatever you might want, all things are out there. Postmates can deliver it for you. They even do some clothing stores as well. So no more trips to the store, no more late night food runs. Don't have to worry about grabbing lunch anymore. Postmates can do it for you. Download the Postmates app, both on iOS or Android. Find your favorites and get anything you want delivered within the hour. That's Locked On NBA for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it. Postmate it. Let's look at the Utah Jazz and then some other players around the league and how the Jazz finished. The last 10 games feels kind of funny because we always do that as though it's like some sort of indicator of who's hot and who's not and what's coming and those things. And I don't know if we get that or not, and certainly doesn't parlay. So Rudy was the best at 2.9. Bogdanovich was a 1.3. Tony Bradley was a 0.8. Pretty cool for Tony Bradley by the end of the year at 78%. I would say like there's more value there than people will give, you know, understanding and credit for. So Jordan Clarkson, 0.5, definitely one of the best of his career. George Niang, not quite Duncan Robinson, but 62% of his possessions were used to shoot a three. He's shooting 42%. Like that player has some value. That kind of matches in your roster building. You might look and say a bunch of other things like, oh, he doesn't do this. No, no. Like, that's a skill. Joe Ingles, 0.4. Royce O'Neal, 0.2. Emmanuel Mudiay, minus 0.2. Donovan finishes the year at minus 0.2, which is interesting. Because, or is at minus 0.2. I don't know if he finishes the year. Because the last year, Donovan was a minus 1.0 and took a lot of grief for it, but he became better, but he still never became above average. Mike Conley at minus 0.9. If we look at the last 10 games in that era, Seth Curry was the hottest guy in the league. John Collins was too. That Duncan Robinson was as well. But if you look at the Jazz in that time period, we begin to see Donovan stepping forward and we begin to see Mike Conley having a bigger impact on things. So when you look at the Jazz during the last 10 games of the season, you see why that, and you actually, you know, when we've done this over the last little while and you take it back even further, this is why the Jazz were the number one offense in the league, because all of their players were generally positive. Rudy Gobert was 3.1. Tony Bradley was up to 1.4. Emmanuel Mudiay was 1.1. Joe Ingles was 0.9. Here's Mike Conley. Instead of being minus, he was a positive 0.5. Donovan actually had kind of slumped back down a little bit because he was not going to line a huge amount. His numbers were actually pretty good. 24 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, but he was a minus 0.8 in that stretch. Bojan had slumped a little. I think the two of them got a little tired. And Jordan Clarkson, even over the last 10 games, had quieted down to a minus 0.4. Royce O'Neal was a minus 0.3. So when the Jazz were at their perfection of offense, everybody was positive. And then suddenly in the last 10, some of that had slipped away despite the fact the Jazz were able to win it. But we also had begun to see the defense have some pretty big games in that time period. Players that were glad that they stopped. No, I don't think anybody was glad they stopped, but some players that were slumping a little bit At the end, Dylan Brooks had cooled down a great deal. Miles Bridges, Thomas Satoransky, Kyle Kuzma was scuffling. Torian Prince, Naz Reid in Minnesota, Josh Richardson in Philly, Patrick McCaw in Toronto. Marcus Smart was taking an awful lot of shots and was struggling a little bit, and evidently maybe not feeling that well. Anthony Simons, as well as D'Anthony Melton, who had been Scott Rogers, who you met along the way, favorite guy along the way. Also, so there we go. There's a little points game. Just kind of a quick look at that stuff, trying to give you some semblance of normalcy. We'll be back with you. Thurl will join me this week. We'll have some fun talking about the season and what we're up to. Thurl says that he's just running next to the Peloton and handing his wife water as she goes after. Thanks very much for tuning in. Friday edition of Locked On NBA is underway. Also, if you've not listened to Rejecting the Screen, they have a bunch of evergreen podcasts that are just great. They do super research. They're really, really, really good. So make sure you go grab that. Rejecting the Screens, the podcast. Noah and Adam do super work. I think you'd enjoy it in this time. Some old-time NBA conversations. Great stuff. Have a good day. Thanks.